Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on a Wednesday on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Abebefe hanging out with you guys the rest of this hour. Coming up in 20 minutes, Nick Kostos will take the baton and take you the rest of the way until 7 o'clock Eastern time. But he'll start off with his thoughts on the College Football Playoff Committee's most recent rankings that they released yesterday in between the Champions Classic. I always love when they do that. Like, we get the first game, then we get the rankings, then we get the second game. It's a nice little sports bundle there for college sports fans who love basketball and football. But we saw the rankings last night. I gave you my thoughts on the rankings in the last segment. If you missed them, check them out in podcast form. We don't need to rehash all that stuff. I have since calmed down while we were in the break. We will get to NFL awards shortly, but I did want to touch on what we saw last night in LA that saw the Lakers beat the Utah Jazz 140-126 in LeBron James's regular season debut. LeBron making history as he sets foot on his 23rd NBA season, which I don't think we talk enough about how absurd that is. 23 seasons in the NBA. Like, I was literally, 03, 04 was his first year. I was in the eighth grade when LeBron James started playing basketball. Like, I'm now 35 years old. I'm married. I got a mortgage. This guy's been playing forever. He's playing against guys who were not even born when it's insane what LeBron was doing. And last night, LeBron James in 30 minutes of play was pretty good for the Los Angeles Lakers. And I almost hate the tone of that. I make it sound like he was like some like scrub or something like that. And it's surprising that LeBron James is good at basketball. He's one of the all-time greats. But he's coming off of the sciatica injury. He's 40 years old. Like, how is this going to go? It went well. 11 points, 12 rebounds, or sorry, 12 assists rather, one turnover as LeBron was more in the facilitator mode with he and Luka Doncic. I think that those guys, there's so many playmakers on this Lakers offense. They're just going to be so good on that end of the floor. And all the talk about, hey, are the Lakers going to be worse off with LeBron James? It just seems silly. Now, of course, it's the Utah Jazz. Have to keep that in mind. Utah is one of the worst teams in the league. But still, this team and any basketball team is made better by LeBron James playing on that team. And I'm curious to see what it looks like when they play the contending teams. Now, we're not going to see them play until Sunday because for some reason the Lakers have all these days off that'll help LeBron get right. Sunday, they're going to take on the Utah Jazz again. That game will be played in Salt Lake City. But let's see what it looks like when they take on the Houstons, the OKCs, the Denvers, like those kind of teams in the Western Conference. But so far, so good. We're off to a good start. And for the Lakers at 11-4, you got to like where this is headed. They more than kept the ship afloat without LeBron James. And now that LeBron is back, like, they don't have to sort of like have him press the gas because Luke is one of the best players, and Austin Reeves has emerged as a potential all-NBA guy. So this is only positive for the Los Angeles Lakers, and I'm curious to see how this plays out over the next handful of months here. But LeBron back on the court, always a pleasure to see, and he was really good once again last night. All right, let's talk some NFL awards and get into the most prestigious award, that being MVP, Most Valuable Player in the NFL, where it was a very pivotal week last week with the MVP, with some marquee games. We saw Drake May on Thursday Night Football, but most importantly, we saw Matthew Stafford play in the afternoon against the Seattle Seahawks in what was billed as the game of the week. And Matthew Stafford's team, the Los Angeles Rams, were victorious, as that win has propelled Stafford to favorite status for the MVP. Matthew Stafford over at BetMGM is plus 135 to be league MVP. Now, I talked about this last week, and we talked about it with Nick earlier this week. I actually don't think Stafford's going to win this award. I came away actually a little bit more skeptical of the Rams after watching their win over the Seahawks. That to me felt more like, oh, Sam Darnold, what's going on here? As opposed to Rams, best team in the league. Like, no, I don't think they're the best team in the league. I don't even think they're like one of the top two teams in the NFC. But right now, at 8-2, hey, like they're playing some really good football, and the schedule is manageable over the next month to where Stafford's likely going to hold on to favorite status, barring some kind of an upset loss. Now, the Rams win total, it's adjusted up to 12.5. They're now plus 170 to be the one seed in the NFC. He's 7th in EPA per play. He's 6th in QBR. I mean, he might throw for like, what, 45 touchdowns and have like 5 interceptions? Like that kind of a TD to INT ratio, like that's going to have you at least in the conversation, if not leading the conversation. I'm just not so sure or convinced that they're actually going to win this division. That's where I kind of pump the brakes here on Matthew Stafford to win MVP. And like, that's what's required. Like, you need to win the division or be Adrian Peterson and come close to breaking Eric Dickerson's record. Like, if you're not doing that, you better win the division. And Stafford's not going to be able to break Dickerson's record because he's not a running back. And in terms of the division, Seattle's still there. The Niners, if they start to come on, I don't think they're going to win it, but they could also give them some, I guess they don't have to play them anymore, but still, like, that's a team that could kind of compete in that NFC West. And they have some games against Detroit down the road. Like, these are not easy football games for the Rams. So to me, it feels like Stafford's sort of the midseason guy. But at the end of the year, I don't think he's going to win the award. I actually agree with what Whale said on the show yesterday. And I was planning to say it on the show today, and I'll say it here nonetheless. I think the winner is going to end up coming down to the AFC East between Drake May and Josh Allen. I think that's going to be your MVP winner. And right now, you have to give the nod to Drake May, which is why he's plus 175. The New England Patriots are plus 200 to be your one seed. The schedule is cake. And maybe that holds back people in praising Drake May, because I'm sure there'll be some voters out there that say, well, like, look, he didn't play anybody. And yeah, like, that's a very fair criticism of Drake May's candidacy. But I think for most voters, they're going to look at a guy that's in the top two for both advanced metrics, EPA per play and QBR. They're going to look at a team that's 13-4, maybe even 14-3. And they're going to say, hey, Drake May is the guy. Like, we always want to look for the next guy. Drake May is looking like he might be that next guy. And if the Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills at home in December, that's the chance for Drake May to get that kind of pop. And if he gets that pop, I think he eventually runs away with winning the MVP. So, like, you ask me right now, who do I think is going to win the award? I actually think it's going to be Drake May, who's right now at plus 175. Now, that's not to say to bet him, because it's plus 175. I think at this point, if you don't have any Drake May, you kind of have to let the ship sail and hope that he falls off or Stafford falls off and maybe Josh Allen gets back into the picture. But Josh Allen, his MVP case, it's hanging on by a thread. It's simply, bro, can you run the table and take back the division? Like, that's the MVP case. I mean, his stats are awesome. Had 6 touchdowns this past Sunday against the Buccaneers. And everybody realizes that he's the one that's carrying a very flawed Buffalo Bills team. But unless they win the division, he's not winning the award. Like, that's pretty much how it goes. Like, you're not going to win a back-to-back MVP as a 5 seed. No, you got to go back and be a 1 or a 2 seed. That's what Aaron Rodgers did back in 2020 and 2021. Like, Rodgers was back-to-back 1-2 seed. Like, you're the MVP both years. Like, this is not going to be 5 seed Josh Allen. And, like, in fact, like, Peyton Manning, I believe in 08, won MVP as a 5 seed. But, like, this is not going to happen for him. So, to me, unless the Bills run down the Patriots, Josh Allen will not be repeating. So not a lot to do from a betting standpoint this week with the MVP. And final thing real quick here, and this will kind of dovetail into Offensive Player of the Year. Jonathan Taylor's at plus 750 to win MVP. Like, his stats are awesome. 1,100 rushing yards, 15 touchdowns. Like, he's amazing. However, he's a running back, and I just don't believe it with the running backs. Like, you know, we did the Saquon thing last year. If he couldn't win it, who's going to win it? That's my thing. And I think we're going to have too many good quarterback candidates to where Jonathan Taylor will not win this award. An award he will win, though, or has a really good chance to win, is Offensive Player of the Year, where he's minus 400. Like, that, to me, is justified, because this dude, he's ridiculous. And he's getting all the credit for why the Indianapolis Colts, he and Shane Steichen, are getting all the credit for why this team has been really, really good this season. Now, they have a very, very important game on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. That will have a lot of eyeballs, given the fact that everyone's curious to see if Kansas City can turn things around. So if Taylor shows out in that game, and if the Colts beat the Chiefs, boom, like, Jonathan Taylor, OPOY, that minus 400 might be minus 650 when we have this conversation next week. That's the award that he is in line to win. And the other guy that's chasing him, and I think we're down to a two-horse race with this Offensive Player of the Year, is Jaxon Smith-Njigba of the Seattle Seahawks. JSN is plus 240, leads the league in receiving yards with 1,146. You can mark him down for 120 yards a game. Like, that's what this is with JSN. Just write it down right before the game. All right, 120 yards. Can't wait to see how he does it. Like, that's like, he is incredible. And last week, with the offense struggling, Sam Darnold struggling in particular, JSN still got his. He still got his 100 yards, his 9 catches. Like, he's unstoppable. And luckily for us, if you've been listening all season long, if you've been betting this all season long, you have both guys at much better prices, that being JSN and Jonathan Taylor. I think these are the two horses down the stretch. And I think we sit back and we see who wins in NFL honors and we collect our money then. But I think we're in a really good spot with Taylor and JSN and OPOY. And to wrap up the awards conversation, Defensive Player of the Year. I got to wear some egg on my face for this one because I wrote this guy off the entire season and it's looking like he might just win the award and shut me up. And that is Cleveland Browns pass rusher Myles Garrett, who is now a minus 285 favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year. As you know, we talk about the historical criteria, what's required to win, team success, really good defense. The team success is dreadful. I mean, the Browns have an updated win total of 4.5. They're 250-1 to make the playoffs, 500-1 to win the division. But Myles Garrett has 15 sacks. End of conversation. Like, this guy is on pace to break the single season sack record. And that's what's required. If you're on a really bad team, you need to break records. And at this point, I tip the cap, man. I'm not going to, because Garrett at the start of the season, he's plus 600, plus 700. I'm not betting plus 700 on a guy to break the single season sack record. That's never going to happen. But for those of you who did, congratulations, because this guy is going to do it. And as long as he doesn't get hurt, I don't see who's taking him down. I would love it for it to be Will Anderson or maybe even Aiden Hutchinson, one of those guys. But I think Garrett's going to get there. And I mean, he gets the Raiders on Sunday. Like, how do you think that's going to go? That's like another 2 or 3 sacks on deck. We might be talking about 18 sacks by the end of it here for Myles Garrett this weekend. So yeah, I think he's going to win this award until further notice. As for tonight, though, to get some bets in before we wrap things up here, in the NBA, I like the Rockets laying 1.5. I also like the Trailblazers getting 3 against the Chicago Bulls. In college basketball, give me Arizona +6.5 against UConn. I think those two teams are a little closer together than what the betting market thinks. And then finally, Frozen Femi on the ice. Capitals right winger Tom Wilson +200 as they take on Edmonton. And then the Calgary Flames, Nazem Kadri at +220 against the Buffalo Sabres. Both guys will light the lamp tonight, and we will cash tickets later this evening. That does it for me here on this Wednesday. Up next, Nick Kostos with his thoughts on the recent rankings from the College Football Playoff Committee.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.